Hello and welcome to another episode of the Remix My Fitness podcast, where we learn that there's more than one way to train, eat, and live. I'm your host, MC Kim, aka the Kind Intelligent Man. How y'all doing today? I hope life's treating you good. And I want to talk about life just a little bit here. I want to start off the show a little bit different today. If you've been paying any attention to world news lately, it's been really hard to miss all the crazy things that have been happening in the world today, especially all the tragic deaths, from the downing of the Ukraine jetliner to the coronavirus infecting and taking lives, to the fires from one country to another, to an NBA legend Kobe Bryant tragically dying in a helicopter crash. You know, the list just goes on and on and on. And it's real easy to take the view of what an awful time it is to live in. But I'd like to take a different view. What I've gotten from all this tragic news has been serving me as a reminder. A reminder that life is precious. That it could be gone or taken away from you any minute and any second in the day. So we can spend our time worrying or focusing on the negatives, or we can enjoy the time that we have with one another, with ourselves. So I'm asking all the listeners out there to take a few moments and appreciate the time that we have left and the time that we have left for ourselves. To give your mom or dad a call for no other reason other than to say hello. To give your partner, your kids, your pet an extra hug, an extra kiss today. To look at yourself in the mirror and remind yourself that you aren't just here to exist, but you are here to live. So let's go out there and live our lives to the fullest. So, of course, MC Kim here. I have to take my own advice, and I decided to call my mom before I hit record today. I called her, like I said, for no other reason other than just to say hello. And usually the conversation goes, hey, how are you doing? And you know, I'll reply, and usually I'll come up with like a little smart aleck reply. But I have a general one that I always use, which is, everything's great, Mom, but it'd be even better if I won the lotto. And for whatever reason, I've used this for a very long time with her, and I'm not even sure why, because I don't even play the lotto. And you know, she'll scoff and she'll laugh it off and say, you know, and we'll begin our conversation. And that's usually how it all starts. But today, perhaps she sensed the topic of the conversation today. But today she got serious with me for a second and said, son, don't say that. You already have $1 million. In fact, you already have more than $1 million. You have a loving partner. You have two beautiful children. You have parents who are still healthy and that take care of one another. You have something worth more than money. So please, don't say that anymore. Now, usually I would have some sort of smart aleck remark or a quick comeback. But it really hit the mark today, and it's exactly what I need to hear. So shout out to my mom today for her words of wisdom, her patience, her guidance, and love. I really do appreciate it. Thanks, Mom. And speaking of shout outs, I want to give a shout out to a longtime listener, an OG guest all the way from episode number 2, a very good friend of mine, Dave Stewart. He took the time to write to me about last week's episode, Don't Follow Your Passion, Instead Follow Your Curiosity. And here's what he wrote. Hey, Jimmy, I'm dropping you a line as I listened to your recent podcast on curiosity. What are your thoughts about an episode topic about finding these through the struggles of your listeners and their experiences? One of my big struggles is still trying to find time and struggling not to get to the gym regularly. Now, Dave, I appreciate the listen and your topic suggestion, so let's talk about it. Not today, but it's something that I'll hit on next week's episode. So I want to hear from you, the listeners out there. What are you currently struggling with your personal fitness and health? And please be as specific as possible. Are you having trouble finding the time to work out like Dave? Is there too much info out there on what to do or what not to do that you just don't do? You want to start training, but you just don't know where to start? Hit me up. Hit me up at mckim@remixmyfitness.com and let me know. Let me know how I can help you out. So mckim@remixmyfitness.com. Let me know what you are struggling with. Sound good? So just before we get into today's episode with our guest, I just want to give an update on my wake up earlier challenge. And if I ever do this again, I'm going to have to call this challenge the sleep earlier challenge, because really that's been the key to success this week. And as of this recording, I am 3 of 4 with a 6:30 a.m. wake up time, which I think is pretty good. And as long as I get to bed early, I don't foresee the stats really changing too much. But why is sleeping at 10:30, 11 o'clock so hard? It's what I've been asking myself every time I force myself to bed early. I find that I am reaching for my phone, or I have the sudden urge to answer an email, or there is a quote-unquote quick search I want to do, which leads me down a deadly rabbit hole of information and, you know, pushes back the time for me to sleep. But as you will hear from strength and conditioning coach Graham Carpio, our bodies are creatures of habit, and we need to build new habits. I reached out to one of my favorite coaches, Graham Carpio, who is the owner of Carpio Strength and Conditioning out here in Toronto. And I reached out to him because I know he takes his sleep very serious. He has a nightly routine. He gets up early in the morning. He is high. I'm talking high, high energy every single time I see him, whether it's morning, lunch, or in the evening time. Whenever I walk into his facility, he could just be a few steps away from me, or he could be on the other end of the gym, and he will yell out my name over the music that is blasting over the speakers, real loud and real energetic, and it always makes me feel special. And he brings that same attitude and energy to his clients, which I think has been a key to his success. So here's my unfiltered conversation. And I say unfiltered, you know, Graham wins the award here for being the first guest where I need to actually put on, where I actually need to put a little advisory about explicit language. So this is our unfiltered conversation. And it's a good conversation on good sleeping habits, supplements to help you sleep, such as turmeric and cannabis. We get into cannabis a little bit here today and its role on how to sleep. And we also get into New Year's resolution goals and how to reach them. So without further ado, here is Graham Carpio. I want to welcome to the Remix My Fitness podcast a good friend of mine and an amazing we'll say host, because he hosts my team. He hosts Team Remix at his studio that we rent out his place. Graham Carpio, strength coach extraordinaire. What's going on, Graham?
Not much, man. Just here, but do my very first podcast.
Very first podcast. We're just saying on the air. We're popping the podcast cherry over here.
That's it.
So Graham,
someone had to do it.
Someone had to do it, and I'm glad to do it, because I know I got fierce competition there, right? I know Theo's there. I'm surprised he's never asked you to come onto his show.
No, yeah, he hasn't. I think he might have, but like, I don't know. He didn't really follow up on it. So
That Theo. We'll get him, man. But listen, I brought you on the show for a few different reasons. One of the reasons, you know, we'll get into a little bit, which is I'm trying this 30-day wake up earlier challenge. And I reached out to you because you are one of the most energetic people on, no matter what time in the day that I see you. You're just like, you, as soon as I walk in the room, I walk into the studio, you're screaming my name, right? Just like crazy pumped. And you maintain that energy throughout the day with every single one of your clients, your classes, all that stuff. And I want to commend you on that, because
I'd say I try to keep my energy as high as I can when I feel it, but like, you know, there's still days that I'm not that energetic.
Yeah,
like stuff that we're about to talk about, like, you know, maybe not having good sleep the night before, mm-hmm, affects it. And but then you go into the gym and you gotta lead with your energy, so everybody else in there, especially people that's training with me, would have the same type of energy when I'm in there, because you know it spreads, right?
Like absolutely,
it's contagious,
dude. And so, and it shows, like I you know, everybody that works out with you, when I'm looking in there, they're all pumped, they're all, and if they're not, you get them there, right? You're
yeah, exactly, yeah.
So, you're like this crazy note taker.
Yeah, just really all about, you know, just rubbing off each other's energy, mm-hmm. because, you know, like if someone's feeling down, you know, and if you follow up on that, if they're feeling down, you go in there and you feel down too, you know, we're trying to lift weights, we're trying to get, you know, make something happen here, so we need energy. So if you go in there and you go down to the level, it's not going to work for both of you, you know, for everybody else in the room.
Absolutely.
So that's how I look at it.
Absolutely. And look, before we get into everything, why don't you tell the listeners out here like a little bit about yourself, how you got into training, about your spot. I think it's a fantastic and inspirational story, cuz have you always been a trainer your whole life? I mean, not your whole life, but for your main career?
No, not at all. I started in the industry. Well, like I got into like my fitness job. I've always worked out, like back in high school. I do a lot of workouts in the park, and like in a gym class, like go to the weight room, stuff like that. But obviously, nothing scientific. It's just all some dumb shit, like what you see on TV, kids would do, kind of shit. So, I became more serious when I started training Muay Thai. Like my friends were all training martial arts, and they got into like Muay Thai really, really, you know, like almost serious. Like one of them actually became a pro, went to Thailand. And so they got me into it. I started training Muay Thai for a couple of years, and then I became more interested in building the body for the sport. So obviously that's when the strength and conditioning and fitness programming came in, and that's how pretty much I got into it, and I haven't stopped since then.
Yeah, and how many years ago was that?
I'd say more about like 12 years.
12 years, man.
Yeah, so.
So you've never had like a regular 9-to-5 job before then? Because you're still a pretty young guy, so you've been like training like right out the gates, like after high school.
Yeah, out of high school, be training. But like, no, I mean, after high school, it was, you know, like I've got into some shit, trouble, you know, causing trouble, mm-hmm. and
details, kinda, man, details. No,
yeah, kidding, so fitness kind of, you know, there was a setback in terms of fitness. I kind of just lost my interest in it because I was interested in doing other stupid shit. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like what most high school kids would do.
Right, right.
Yeah, and then after that, that's when, you know, like I got a little bit older and got into Thai boxing. So Muay Thai was really my main, I'd say,
entry.
My gateway.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that was my gateway to fitness, training Muay Thai. And then I never stopped training
since
then.
That's amazing. That's amazing. And I find the story of your studio or of your facility like really interesting, because you own a spot in a really crazy kind of area. So it's in Toronto. It's in the area of like Dufferin and DuPont, and a street called Geary. And this street is crazy. Like the best way I could describe it is, I can only imagine it used to be this whole street of like car garages.
Yeah.
And it's still kind of, if you were just drive by, you just think it's all car garages, but it's not anymore. Now it's just like crazy trendy restaurants. There's like like nightclub things happening. There's your studio that's there. There is like a brewery that's there that it's like booming all the time. And there's like these crazy like late night parties. That secret parties that happen down
after hours.
After hours parties. I'm not gonna say exactly where, I don't want to bait anybody out, but it is you would never suspect. And then there's homes everywhere. There's like a neighborhood of homes that are
it's surrounded by houses.
Surrounded by houses and garages.
Residential houses.
Yeah, and then there's your spot. I was looking at your Facebook and your spot looks totally different than how it looked, I think, like 8 years ago, right? Like how long have you had Carpio strength and conditioning now?
6 years ago. You might have seen the smaller gym, because this is what we have right now is my third one.
Okay.
So started in my mom's basement. Like I set up a gym in my mom's basement. I was training clients there, and then we moved to Gary a year later of training people, clients in my mom's basement. So yeah, we were there for like 7 months in one of the units, and then I expanded in the same building. I got a bigger unit. We were there for almost for 2 years, almost three, and then yeah, then we got kicked out of that building because we were making too much noise and all. The neighbors were complaining, and there were offices above us, and the landlord basically had to weigh it out who was going to kick out. And obviously I had a smaller space, and there were, you know, they had bigger space upstairs, so they're, you know, giving more money, whatever. So yeah, and we had to go because yeah, obviously, you know, we lift weights, we bang weights, we play the music loud, we yell, we scream.
You guys play music loud for sure.
Yeah, that's just my style. That's, I mean,
absolutely,
this is part of my energy, just part of the atmosphere that I like. So, and then for like a year, the landlord would can drop the weight, stop yelling, screaming, swearing, all that shit, right? For the sake of keeping the space, I actually tried to, you know, like change the atmosphere, but it wasn't the same. And I was like, no, I can't do this shit. Fuck it. So we went back to old ways. I'll wait for this guy. Maybe subconsciously, but I didn't say it. I was like, maybe I'll just wait for this guy to kick me out and I might find another, a better space. And that's basically what happened, you know. Like he said, like I was ready to renew the lease. I wasn't ready to expand yet. And he was like, okay, well, things are not working out between you and the tenants upstairs. So I had to wait out who I'm gonna kick out. And obviously, your company, you know, your space is smaller, so you gotta go. And then yeah, and then
I think probably you know, in hindsight, looking back, it's probably worked out for you, right? Like,
oh, it worked out really well. It was like a blessing in disguise. Like that was actually pretty tough for me because financially I wasn't like, you know, I wasn't ready to expand, and I wanted to keep the old space because that's all I could afford back then, and then I had to move out. So I was looking for, but by then all the properties in Toronto are like going up, like the you know, the market. So all the rents were all expensive and shit. So it was hard to find the space, and I didn't want to go far either because I had a lot of clients in the neighborhood that I wanted to, you know, I wanted to keep. Yeah, and I was walking around the neighborhood, and then I saw the spot there. Monkey Vault used to be in that building.
So where you are right now?
Yeah.
Okay. So,
It's a parkour gym. Yeah, so they were doing parkour training in there. Yeah, they were there for a while. Yeah, and then I just walk around the neighborhood, and I saw the space empty, and I looked through the windows, like those none did, all the stuff are gone. So and I checked them online that they said that they found another space. I'm like, okay, this space must be available for lease. And then I got the phone number of the landlord, called him up and assigned the lease and got the space. It was like perfect space, you know, like you don't have anybody above nobody above us, nobody downstairs, you know, under us. And nobody's complaining about the noise.
Because, and it looks like, you know, the walls are thick too. I mean, you have like a restaurant that's next to you that's popping, and then
yeah,
and then right beside you they have like
it's like a wood shop. Like
exactly. So they're making like a ton of noise themselves anyway too, right?
Yeah, exactly. With the huge machines to make those cabinets. So I don't know, and it worked out really well.
Yeah, and look, and in that 6 year time, like I was looking at the pictures, man, it's like totally different. Like you've added so much stuff. The place yeah. looks really like it's really well put together. And I also say, like, because I rent out at a couple different places. And this is something I always appreciate when I had my studio too, which was you keep your place like really clean. You have it organized. You have like a system, which is awesome. Because I've rented out at a couple other studios before. And man, it's just like, it's really like gross and like super dusty, like super not well maintained. I know we're there like lifting weights. It doesn't have to, like, it's never going to be like spick and span, but
no.
But man, it's like sometimes.
But you still got to maintain.
You still got to maintain, absolutely.
Yeah, you can't just let all the dirt dust accumulate.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, over time. So mm-hmm. you got to keep up with it somehow, but just, mm-hmm. you know, vacuuming here and there. And it's not even that hard, to be honest. Like, I don't know why, how someone could just not take care of a space like that.
I mean, I think it delves into like what kind of personality, like, you know, gives you an idea of what kind of personality that they have, right? And
yeah,
the care that they want to put into to their to their craft, right? And part of our craft, I think, is part of this is being organized for clients, giving them a space where they appreciate. Like, I know my team that we come and we work out there, they appreciate it. We always say, like, it's one of the best spots. We love, like, the music, because the other places we were renting at, like, they wouldn't let us play, like, certain kinds of music, or they would only have it set at a certain volume, you know, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. I brought you on the show today for one of the main reasons, because I actually need your help, man. So what I need help with is I'm doing this 30-day challenge where I'm trying to get up earlier in the morning. And I wouldn't say, like, I'm a crazy late riser, but my sleep times are, like, super erratic. So I sleep, like, some days early, some days really late. Lately, it's been really, really late. I've been trying to get up early. So my average time to go to sleep would be, like, 1:30 in the morning.
Oh, wow,
But over the last, like, ever since I started this challenge, maybe – you know, ever since I started this challenge, I'm perhaps a little bit nervous about doing this and then putting it out there for everybody. But I'm sleeping like at 3 a.m. Like even last night, like 3 a.m. And I'm still trying to get up at like 7, which doesn't sound really like early to people.
Yeah, it's only 4 hours of sleep.
Yeah, 4 hours of sleep. And I'm trying to operate and at the same time, you know, work out and do my thing and all that stuff like that. And the one thing I know about you is, one, you take your sleep very seriously. That's what I've noticed, you know, a couple of conversations that we've had. And you also get up early in the morning too. So tell me about that. Were you always that kind of guy where you're kind of like, okay, you know what, I need to get my 6 hours, 8 hours of sleep? Or is it something that you've...
But no, not always. I think it's more of like something I learned later on, how my body reacts and perform, and when I have plenty of sleep or having lack of sleep. So, like, it's just a lifestyle. Obviously, my lifestyle changed. You know, I got to train clients now early in the morning. I got to get up early. And then I got training after. And I still got to train people, you know, like, in the evening. So, and then, again, you got to lead these people when they come to the gym to work out. So, your energy has to be, you got to at least match your energy, right? Or go beyond it. But you can never be under it, because obviously you're the trainer. Mm-hmm. They're gonna feed off your energy no matter what. So if you show them low energy, and then they're gonna show you low energy. And I hate low energy clients. Not that I hate them, I just, you know, I don't really enjoy training them. I still train if they want to train, but like,
it's just easier. Easy if they got a little bit more.
Exactly. If they match your energy, you know, it's just easier, because obviously you guys are all vibing, you know, at the same frequency. And it's just better atmosphere and better workouts and easier work for me as a trainer. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
I just learned how my body reacts to different amounts of sleep having at night. And obviously, I usually try to get at least 7 hours. 7 hours would be like my minimum. And 6 will be like, you know, like, I'll be all right. That's 6 hours. Anything less than 6 hours, then I'll be pushing it.
You got a cranky gram.
Yeah, exactly. I'll get a cranky gram, and then I'm still gonna have. At the end of the day, like I said, I gotta lead with energy over there. So even if I had like shitty sleep, I would still come in there, and I'm gonna try to show as much energy as I can.
Absolutely.
But that right there is gonna be hard for me to do. But I'm still gonna get it done, obviously, because I'm trying to get the work done, and. But that will burn me out. Like after a couple of sessions, like, oh damn, I just want to sit down, like, maybe lie down, take a nap, kind of, you know, energy. That's what I'm gonna have after, and that's not really something that I like experiencing through my day. So yeah, I try to get at least 7 hours of sleep.
So let me ask you, are you what time are you sleeping right now? Like, what's your average like sleep time and wake up time?
Right now, I sleep between 10:30 and 11.
10:30 and 11. Wow.
And then I wake up. I wake up at 6:30.
At 6:30 in the morning. That's what I'm trying. That's what I'm trying to do this week. I'm trying to get up at 6. Like I'm bumping up my time. I'm getting up at 7. Like consistently at 7 in the morning. And then now I'm trying to get up at 6:30. And my ultimate goal is like 6. So definitely one of the things is like I gotta get up. I gotta get to sleep earlier. But like you finish around like you finish around the time that I come in. So I teach a late night lift class on a couple of days of the week at your place, and when I get in at 8:30, you're already kind of like out the door getting ready to leave. So tell me, walk me through you get home, and then like what's like the routine for you to kind of get ready and get peace of mind to be ready for bed at like 10:30, 11.
Well, yeah. So basically, I go home. And then I sit down and I, you know, I watch shows, whatever. I'll play video games. And I just try to relax as much as I can. Right. And I think about the day and I think about tomorrow. Maybe I'll think about tomorrow, whatever. I'll do my emails here and there. Do the last, you know, last few emails that I have to send to people or text messages. And then from there, I just try to do the same routine. I'll watch a movie or something, or like a something short, or I'll play video games, and I'll smoke some weed.
Nice.
There you go. <Have it. laughs> So that's part of it, right? So just to relax me, and I take turmeric.
Oh, you take turmeric like every night.
Every night, yeah. So I'll take two pills of turmeric, because turmeric helps with relaxing your digestive system. So a lot of times when your digestive system is active, right, it messes up with your sleep, because obviously you're trying to digest food, or maybe you ate something bad and your stomach hurts, whatever, and it's not feeling well, it's not performing, or it's trying to perform too hard, too late, then, you know, it messes up with your sleep. And turmeric, what I find is when you take it, it helps the digestive system to relax. So obviously that's going to help you relax the rest of the body and fall into sleep better. And that's on top of the benefits of turmeric. It helps with anti-inflammatory. So it helps with all types of inflammations in the body. So those are like all the added benefits, but I do take it at night primarily just to help me fall asleep and sleep better.
Okay. And let me ask you, like how do you take it? Like you take a teaspoon and like warm water, or you put in your tea?
So I get them in pills.
Okay.
They come in capsules. I think it's probably like 2,000 milligrams or 1,000 milligrams for a cap. So I just take two. I pop them with water. And then that's it. And I go, back on the couch and relax, wait for the time to fall to for like 10:30, 11, go to bed, and then sleep.
And then you're like a pretty fast sleeper. Like you get into bed like 10:30, and it's like kind of like 10, 15 minutes later, like boom, like to sleep.
Yeah. So as soon as I know I'm going to sleep, then yeah, usually I take me like 15 to like 30 minutes and I'll be in deep sleep.
Mm. And do you have like anything going on in your room? Like, is it just darkness? You bring like your phone just, in?
No, well, I use my phone. So on your phone, you have I find this too, that it's very effective. So your phone has like the display on your phone should have it. So you go on display and what was it, the display and brightness, and you can use the night shift.
Mm-hmm.
So it does. It turns off the blue light on the screen, and it gives you a red light.
Mm.
Or red is it yellow or red, something like that. But it makes it darker and less white. That's the blue light, and that blue light keeps you awake, right?
Okay.
If you're looking at it, like it's just there's too much light. That's why people can't fucking sleep, is because there's too much light. They're exposed to light.
Mm-hmm.
So when there's light, your body thinks it's daytime. So now it's going to produce energy for daytime, you know, and that's the energy you're going to be using the next day.
Mm.
You can't find because you used it all up all night.
Exactly.
You're just staring at a computer.
Falling into that YouTube hole, right?
Exactly. So like it definitely helps because it helps relax your eyesight. You know, like,
I believe that because like, you know, you could be so tired. Like there's something, you know, I'm guilty of this for sure. Like I'm so tired. I know I should sleep, and I'm just like, all right, you know, I'm just gonna browse something for like 10 minutes. I'm just gonna watch a little something in bed, and then like,
next, you know,
two hours later, just like 2 hours have gone by, and like nothing, I've done nothing really productive, and I'm still tired, but I'm still awake, right?
Yeah.
When I should have just slept.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
walk me through like what happens in the morning then, because like for me, I find that the toughest part. Like I'll get up at 7, or I have been getting up at 7, and then I'm just like. How do you like spring yourself out of bed?
Whenever it's time to get up, I get right up and I turn all the lights on in the house. Everything. Because, you know, especially in the winter because it's still dark.
Yeah, yeah.
So basically, you're just letting your body know, hey, it's time to fucking wake up. It's daytime. You know what I'm saying? Obviously, if it's dark outside, your body just still doesn't know, hey, is it time to wake up or not? Right. Like, we're not cavemen anymore where we got to wait for the sun to come up so we can come out of the cave and go hunt, right? Right now, fuck, we got to get up before, we got to get out of the house before the sun is up because, you know, we got people to serve. We got our customers. We got clients.
You got your work.
Exactly. So now you got to, so that's what you got to do. You got to trick your body to, you know, like you got to tell your body, hey, it's daytime. So you got to trick it. There's no sunlight outside. So you turn all the lights on in the house. That's to let your body know, to send a message that, yeah, it's time to wake up.
Okay. That's a good tip, actually.
Yeah, try that. And I feel like your body learns routines, right? That it gets into routines. So it always knows what it's supposed to do at a certain time of the day. So, and one thing to do that is to keep doing the same thing so that it catches, like it knows, like it's time to sleep now. You know, it's just sending a message. It's basically, that's how you command your body. Hey, look, we're about to go to sleep. That's why we're doing this. Obviously, you can't talk to your body like that, so you got to do it with, you know, your activity.
Yeah, but I like what you said, like commanding your body to do this, right? Like it's doing that. So,
but, yeah, through your movement, like I said, you can't really command by just saying it. Like, hey, body, let's go to sleep. You know, it's not gonna listen to you. It's just, it's looking for signs. You're supposed to sleep. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. This wasn't the subject I was gonna touch on. But you happen to bring it up in terms of like the supplements, the evening supplements. So you got the turmeric, but you also mentioned cannabis as well, right?
Yeah.
So I haven't really met too many trainers and coaches that are advocates of cannabis products. Is this something that you use to just unwind or you help recover?
Like, I don't know. I've been smoking cannabis since high school, so it's like it's not something new to me, right? I'm a cannabis smoker like from a very long time now. So, but like back in the day, I would just use cannabis whenever I want, right? Like I use cannabis whenever I want because, you know, I didn't really give a shit. Like, I would go to class high, you know, and or go to work high, whatever job I was doing then. But these days, I'm more of like a strategic pothead. You know what I mean? Like, so like I'm a pothead, but I do it strategically. Like, you never see me in the gym, like, you know, like in the gym high, you know, like a stone, because I can't. I have to keep everything. You know, I have to stay focused and
high energy, right? Like that. It seems counterproductive.
Exactly. So that's what I mean. So basically, so weed is like my yin.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have my yang. That's when I'm sober. I'm in the gym working and presenting myself to people, training clients, and doing my own training and whatnot. So I learned how to keep them separate, because when you keep them separate, that's when I get the most or the best out of both worlds.
Yeah.
Of being high energy and sober, and, you know, when I need to rest and relax to recover, then I use cannabis to help me relax and just to let my body know, hey, we're not working right now, so, you know, just enjoy the moment and chill and recover.
Yeah, you know, and I really like how you put that, like the yin and the yang, right? Like that, to me, that's something that I live by. Like, there's that middle ground. Like, I'm in the middle here, and, you know, for like 8 hours in the day, I need to be like rah 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 rah, like this crazy high. And then, you know, some people can operate, like some people recover. That's how they recover. That's how they build energy. But then there's the other half where, you know what, I kind of need to chill. I need to have some of my me time, and this looks like this helps you get that, right? Because for the longest time, you know, marijuana, cannabis, weed, that had like the biggest stigma in the health industry, right? Like, nobody was really doing that or really even talking about it, you know, even like, I would say even like 5 years ago. And now it's like everywhere.
Yeah, well, because it was demonized back in the day, and you know, like it's just they condition people that it's bad for you.
Yeah, you obviously have a good balance, because like for you, you're in fantastic shape. You're in fantastic shape. You know, you on your Instagram, like you do some crazy stuff on there. Two, you're a business owner. You run a business that needs to be run 24/7, 365. Yeah. Even on your days off, you know, you're still working or thinking about it.
Even on vacation, I'm working.
Even on vacation, you're lifting rocks with your hands and putting that on Instagram. And then number three, you're also in charge of all these other clients that you have that you need to train, give them the high energy. So you've obviously worked out like a good balance of this, and that's you know, goes to show, like you're saying, a demonizing of it, but you know, you have found that balance.
It's what you do with it, you know. I think that's what it is. It's what you do with it. If you think cannabis is not productive to you because, you know, it makes you feel like shit, or it makes you lazy, or you can't do anything, then yeah, you shouldn't be fucking doing it. Mm-hmm. So, like, but hey, if you need cannabis to rest and digest and help you recover better, so you can provide better service to the community or to the society, and you know, become a better person when you got to present yourself to people not being high, right? Like on the other side of being high, then yeah, why not, right? Like I'm still here. Like fuck, I smoke weed every fucking day, but I'm still here. I open up the gym every day mm-hmm. for people to go in there to work out. I train my clients. You know, I clean the gym. I get it ready for other, because I share it with other trainers, and it's all about taking responsibility. To be honest, like
as long as you're taking care of the things that you're taking care of, right? Exactly. And you're responsible with it, like alcohol, right? Or with marijuana, like
with anything. Yeah. Again, it all comes down to being responsible and being productive. Mm-hmm. So if you're not being productive because you smoke weed, or when smoking weed is not, you know, it's not helping you out get, you know, become better at life, then maybe you shouldn't be doing it.
Yeah, yeah. No, I hear you. Oh. So let me say this. I wanna shift over to away from me. I've gotten a lot of tips from you. So I'm gonna try that. I'm gonna try tomorrow just turning on all the lights, because that's definitely like I think like a big thing that I could try, something that's easy enough, because it's so easy for me to just like lay in bed. My bed's so warm. And like, just my room's like nice, and like, and but also my room's very dark, like just like.
Yeah, but that's perfect for sleeping.
Yeah, and because I don't get that that morning sunlight. Even when it's like kind of sunny, like I have a lot of shade where my room is located. So maybe I'll steal my son's room, because my son's room's like super bright. So you. This month of January here, like I you've been doing this long enough to know that this is a big month where people like to hit that reset button and get on, you know, starting their new year, their new life, right? Like I'm sure you've seen that, and clients talk to you about that. Like, tell me your thoughts about it, first of all, on the New Year's resolution like phenomenon.
Hey, if you gotta wait till the new year to make shit happen, then do so, as long as you do make it happen. But if you said the same shit last year but you never got anything done, then maybe making resolutions is not the best thing to go about things. Like fuck, if you want to get something done, just do it now. Why you gotta wait till the new year?
Mm-hmm. And you know, for me, like I've always been like on and off like the New Year's resolution thing, but the last couple of years I was on it, and my thing was, I used to always write like three things down that I wanted to accomplish for the year.
Yeah.
But last year was the first year where I wrote three things down and I didn't accomplish any one of those three things. So that's why I'm taking a different approach this year, where every month I'm going to try to tackle one new habit or one new thing that I've always wanted to try, that I've always said I want to try, and see if that kind of remixes the way I think about things and go about doing things. And then in this way, I'm documenting it. But for you, like, what do you think is like, you know, people go into these things of like, oh, you know, I'm in high hopes of losing this weight or changing my body. This is going to be the year. But why do you think people fall off though?
It's because they put too much pressure on themselves. I think that's what it is. It's because they waited. They fall off. Obviously, they don't all fall off. You know, a lot of them would actually be successful doing it. But a lot of times it's just because you waited. Why you gotta wait? You know, like I think it's just too much pressure having to wait. Like, yo, I'm gonna do it in the new year. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, if you're gonna do it in the new year, you should start doing it now before the new year. Even like, you know, just like little steps. Like, hey, I want to start losing. I'm gonna go to the gym. I'm gonna start going to the gym in next year, the new year. So, like, even if it's just December, you don't have to go to the gym. I don't know. Start walking. Be a little bit more active. So you gain momentum. Mm-hmm. You're not just like, you know, it's new year. Boom. Oh, it's like a fucking deadline. You got to be in the gym. I think it's just too much pressure. And also what I find a lot of times with people that are signing up at a gym for the new year is they going in there without any guidance, without any knowledge of how to train, how to produce the results for themselves. So after a month of going to the gym, they're not seeing any results because they're not doing it properly. And obviously, what are you going to do? You're not seeing results. You're going to lose motivation. And they quit. That's why people should hire trainers. You don't know shit about going to the gym. Go call Jimmy. Jimmy will help you out, right?
Graham will help you out. We got Theo to help you out. Exactly. We got a lot of good people out there.
Yeah, we're here. We're here to help people out, to help them reach their goals and to produce results. So when they're seeing results, that's how they stay motivated. Yeah. Oh shit's working. I love this. I'm mm-hmm. going to the gym tomorrow. I can't wait to do my next session. And then look at myself in the mirror the next day. And little by little they're getting better. They're looking better. They're feeling better. And why would someone stop training if you're getting results like that?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
and for me it's like I've been on this thing because like I find people get very like fixated on just like the end result. Like, man, he's like, my life is going to be so different when I lose like 30 pounds, 40 pounds, or I'm going to be more confident if I can get bigger arms and a bigger chest. And
yeah,
I find like that's not like that makes like the experience like very like unenjoyable, you know?
Yeah. There's a process to get there.
There's a process
and
to get there.
You have to enjoy that process because if you don't enjoy that process, you're probably going to quit halfway through.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. And I'm sure you've seen people walk into your place and they have high hopes to gain muscle, but you know they're working out and you could tell they just like don't like it. They just don't like lifting bars. They don't like swinging bells. They just don't like pushing prowlers. Like that's like not for them, right? You must see that, and you just think like,
I've seen that. Some people will walk in, they'll try it out, and they know that it's not for them. Like, hey, if it's not for you, then I can't really do much for you. Then that's when you gotta try a different approach.
Exactly, right? Try something different. And for me, it's like, that's a big thing. Like, there's so many things that you can do to get the results that you want to get, right? It doesn't have to be like training weights and things like that. But I love how you hit on the nail. Like, you know, they just hate it. Like, they don't have fun doing it. So that's why they're not getting the results, right? So, I always say this, like appreciating the journey because it's a long journey to get there, and you know you gotta enjoy the process. And if you don't, it's gonna be a miserable journey, man.
Yeah. Exactly. So. Or you also have to celebrate your little wins. You know, like sure you lost. You know, you expect them to lose 2 pounds this week, but you only lost a pound. Fuck, cry me a river. You lost a fucking pound. Mm-hmm. Celebrate that, you know what I mean? Like, sure, I'll try again next. It's not like if you gain 2 pounds, then you can fucking cry, blame yourself for it. instead of losing, you gain. So you messed up somewhere. You gotta go back on the drawing board and try it again. The next week. But like, if you lost a pound, like, don't beat yourself up for it, you know, because you didn't lose the other pound. You know, it could be anything. Like, you know, at least you lost something. It's still, you know, it's still a win. Mm-hmm. It's not, you know, it's not like it's not a total loss. But some people will just, you know, they'll just get all sad about it.
Yeah, they get fixated on just that, like, fixated on the negative stuff, and they don't get to appreciate like the wins that they've been getting.
Exactly.
Yeah. So
they're focusing on the small loss, but they're not focusing on they're ignoring the small win. I think that's what it is. I think it's just winning makes people motivated, right? When they see results, mm-hmm. when they see progress, no matter how small, is very motivating. If you let it, again, some people, you know, they don't appreciate small gains. So mm-hmm. They get sad, they get upset and disappointed, and lose. That's how you lose, right? When you get disappointed, you become disappointed, you're gonna lose motivation, and that leads to pretty much losing and nothing. And next thing you know, you're quitting. You're not training anymore because you know you're not fucking gaining 10 pounds of muscle every week.
Mm-hmm. Which I don't know, but I've never met anybody that gains 10 pounds of muscle ever.
No.
Naturally, naturally.
Yeah. No, exactly. But yeah. unless you're on like some anabolic steroids,
special or... vitamins is what I call it, man.
Special vitamins. Exactly, but naturally, it's impossible.
Impossible.
Yeah. Even if you're a beginner.
If you're a beginner or an expert, right? Like it's just not. Exactly. It's not happening. So Graham, I appreciate you coming on the show today, and you know I would really I have an idea of where I think it might be, but what I like to do is I like to give the guests like the last big say, which is, you know, if you for any of the listeners out there that are starting their journey or who have quit and they're looking to restart again, what do you think is the one piece of advice that you would give that person?
As I mentioned earlier, you need results. You need to see progress, right? And if you guys are not seeing progress, that's because you're not doing the right things in the gym. You're not doing the right training. You're messing around because there's no one there to guide you. So hire a coach. You got Jimmy. You got me. You pick. You know. you need guidance. You need guidance to show you the ropes. And show you how to work out properly and make gains. And you know, once you see progress, you'll be a lot more motivated to keep training than if you don't, you know, than if you just do it by yourself and not gain anything and not see results. And that's when people quit.
Well, you heard it there from Graham, strength training coach extraordinaire.
Hire a trainer, people.
Go out there, get some help if you need some help. Is basically what he's saying.
It's worth it.
It's worth it for sure. So where can people find out more about Carpio Strength and Conditioning? Find out more about Graham. Like, what you have any social handles? You have anything?
Yeah. So social media. I got Instagram Carpio Gym, and Carpio Strength and Conditioning on Facebook.
So on IG, it's Carpio Gym, and on Facebook, it is Carpio Strength and Conditioning.
Yeah.
Right? Don't worry. I'll have those in the show notes, including your website. So definitely appreciate check that out on the info details. So you got to check it out. Graham puts a lot of great stuff on Instagram, and you can see there's people working hard. You'll see him working hard. I think it's
all we do.
It's how he do it. The music's always pumping in the background in all his videos. So definitely go out and check that out. Hey Graham, I really appreciate your time today, and
thanks for having me.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing you actually probably later today. Actually,
I'll see you at the gym, Jimmy.
Yeah, I'll see you, man. Okay, thanks a lot.
Take care, brother.
Okay,
I'll talk to you soon. Bye. Okay,
so that's it, everybody. That is a wrap for another episode this week. I really appreciate you tuning in to today's show. Please make sure you go out, you hit that subscribe button, hit me up in the comments field, in iTunes. Let me know what you want to listen to. Don't be shy. So until next time, go out there, set some goals, challenge yourself, and don't forget to have fun.